This week's interview, of course, is with Rock and Rolf of the band Running Wild. And tell us about the latest album, Rapid Foray, and, you know, tell all the fans about it.
Yeah, well, the album took a while, so to speak. It was about 3 years, really, when I started out. When I finished the last album, Resilient, I started out, you know, collecting new ideas, bits and pieces and stuff. But I just had to take a break for just pretty much 1 year because I broke my right shoulder. So I was not able to play guitar pretty much half a year, and the second half was not really good, you know. So that really took me off the album, but I really could think about the cover and the lyrics and all this stuff. So that gave me the time to work on the album in a different way, you know. So, and then I also had to put it down again when I was preparing the Wacken Open Air show in 2015, because the first time I tried to work in a parallel way, you know, working on the album and working on bringing Running Wild to the stage, so to speak, but it didn't work out, so I really had to put down the album again for half a year. And so I really could, you know, make up my mind which songs should make it on the album, because I had about 30 to 35 different basic song ideas. I really could pick these 10 songs from, and the instrumental came later to that. Mm-hmm. And so I really had the rich opportunity to pick songs that were totally different to each other, you know. So to make sure that every song I picked from this collection to be a song on the album, that it adds something to the album which the other songs didn't, you know. So it was pretty much great stuff, and I had a lot of more time concerning to working on the bits and pieces, the details, because the record company said, okay, I figured out that these songs needed some more detail work, you know, so it takes a little bit more time to do the full album. And so I had a new studio built up and everything at the same time, you know, so that's why it took a little bit of a time, but also I really could take the time to.
One of the biggest things I really love about the band, Rolf, is the fact that you take a lot of past history, you write about a lot of historical things, and, you know, everybody knows about the pirate thing as well, but you also talk. You also have written songs about a lot of historical events. I think of Waterloo. I think of, you know, a song like Port Royal. And, you know, what made you decide to write about a lot of these things?
Well, you know, everything started with Under Jolly Roger, because I was writing for the third album. And so I had a TV set on when I was writing at my home. And I was just jamming around with this basic idea I had. And there was this advertisement for, you know, the movie Pirates from Roman Polanski with Walter Matthau, and I had this riff and it sounded like Pirates, and I said, well, great. And there was a scene where the flag was rising up, and I said, oh, Under Jolly Roger, it's a great title. So this was the starting part of everything, you know. So I was always interested in history itself, but I never did any songs about it before that, you know. So it was the first time that I was dealing with that, and so it became a trademark for Running Wild. And when I did Port Royal, I really became interested in this pirate stuff. I read a lot of books about that. And so to figure out not only that kind of Hollywood images you have in your head when you really think about pirates, but pretty much what was going on really back then, you know, when these guys really lived. And so I became interested in that. So it became a great part of Running Wild, because it's always, when you think about these kind of lyrical content, you've got different musical ideas, because you also want to try to tell the story musically, not only in the lyrics, you know. And even if you have a song like Last of the Mohicans, you know, which is a novel, and you really want to put a whole book into one song, you don't have the chance to just tell it in the lyrics, because you can't write such a long song, you know, with all the lyrics in. So you have to also make sure that you also tell the story musically, you know, to get throughout all the moods and stuff like that. It's, you know, the flow of the story.
And it's great. You know, you've written some really, really killer stuff. You wrote about Custer's Last Stand and Billy the Kid. And, you know, obviously in the new album, you have Last of the Mohicans. And I think it's great that you've written about stuff like this.
Yeah, you know, like I said before, if you've got an idea to do a song like Battle of Waterloo, for sure you've got that certain rhythm in your head, because you see those marching armies, and it was a basic idea for the song, you know, to make it sound like a marching army, you know, because there was a battle and there was what was going on in that days, because they were just marching on each other, you know, not shooting from behind, you know. And so there was a basic idea to tell a story with that.
Rolf, you've been around in the music business for a long time, and you've done some great stuff. And what has kept you around a long time? I know that you put the band on hiatus for a little bit, but they ended up coming back. But you've been doing this for a very long time, and it takes a lot to remain in the music industry itself. And what has kept you around for so long, and why have you kept doing this?
Well, in the first place, the fans, you know, because when we started out, you know, bringing out Gates to Purgatory, our first album, nobody could expect what would happen that, you know, and it was a big success from the beginning, and sort of a lot of people that followed the story from Running Wild and follow our career throughout the last, you know, three decades and more, and so there was always what just kept us going, you know, because when your friends were there seeing the show, when they bought the record and they said, this song is great and this song is great, and they really can feel that, you know. And at one point, you know, we were told a story from an American soldier. He was in Iraq in the war, and he was always listening to Running Wild songs, and that was the stuff that make him, you know, accept what he was going through, you know, that he really could, you know, stand what he was going through. And, you know, to see that people can rely on what you have done with your band, you know, it's pretty much heavy stuff, you know.
Rolf, you know, it's great to be able to talk to you for the first time in a long time, because your music has really inspired me over the years. And I know I can't be the only person here in the USA that thinks that about you. And I know there is a significant amount of Running Wild fans that email me on the show every week. And, you know, why is it that the band really hasn't done so well over here? And, you know, has that improved at all for you recently?
Well, you know, we did just one tour there. It was in '86, and we got the chance to do that because the record company said, you know, you can just jump on the train without, you know, paying any costs. We pay for all. You know, you just doing your thing, you just play, and that's it. And that's what we did back then. But on the next step, we had to pay for it, and it was impossible at that date for us to go there. And there was, the same reason why we didn't play so much shows all over Europe, because we figured out when we did our tours in Europe, you know, we get some money in Germany, and when we played in different countries, we just spend our money to play there, because Running Wild is not only a band that just goes on stage and just plays with some amplifiers and some guitars and stuff like that. We have a big power show, we have big lights, we have a big, you know, stage set and everything, so it all costs money to bring that on a stage, and that was pretty much the main reason why it didn't happen.
Rolf, you came up through a really, really great time in the heavy metal scene, because you had so many great bands coming out at the time. And I remember some of the original bands on Noise Records. It was obviously Rage and Helloween, and then you guys as well, and Gravedigger at the time. And what was it like coming up through that whole scene? What was it like for you to be a part of that?
I was pretty adventurous at that days, because, you know, the major companies were not interested in heavy metal, especially in Germany and all over Europe. And so we had to you know, build up our own scene, so to speak, so that all these small fanzines were coming up, you know, and some supporters of that scene were coming up, and, you know, the bands tried to help each other, you know. There was not kind of a rivalry at that days, you know, because everybody was starting out, and everything what we did was done for the first time. Even there was Scorpions and Accept, but they had another level, and they were way, way before us, you know. And so it was pretty much, you know, very interesting time at that day, you know, because everything was done for the first time. You know, Karl Walterbach with Modern Music came up, and he had the idea to do this kind of, you know, an own kind of label, and, you know, he really wanted to concentrate on heavy metal and hard rock. And so when we were the first band he signed back then with Gates to Purgatory, and then Helloween came about, it was very, very interesting to see that. There were a lot of people were into that kind of music, but you never saw them because the radios never played any of that music. Not only the German acts, but also the American or British acts, they were never played on the radio, mm-hmm. You know, because heavy metal was not really well accepted, so to speak, in all society. So we had a big problem at that day, also to get some places where we could play and stuff like that. So we played, you know, in the schools and something like that, you know, so in very, very small clubs we were playing in. So there was pretty much a scene that were coming up, and then they all were waking up, you know, when we were really selling records, because, you know, when we started out, everybody said with Gates to Purgatory on an independent label, you just can sell about 2,000 records. And but we sold about 25,000 in the first 2 months. So it was pretty much different to what they expected us to do. And so it was really fun to see that. And everything we did at that days was done for the first time, you know. So that was pretty much adventurous at that days.
Great thing about Running Wild is you guys have always had your own sound. You've always had your own signature sound when it comes to your songwriting. And it's not really anything complex. It almost feels like when I listen to a Running Wild song, it almost sounds like it starts off with a simple riff and then you just kind of expand it from there. And maybe talk a bit about your songwriting and your songwriting approach to writing a record.
It's totally different because there's no recipe for me how to write a song, you know. Sometimes the melody's first, you know. If you have a look on a song like Black Bart, the melody was first, so I really knew that song should be, you know, have something to do with the pirate stuff. And sometimes I read a note in an article in a newspaper or something like that. I got an idea for a song or to write about it. You know, if you have a look on Warmongers, I just wanted to do the song, and I had the idea for the lyrical content. And I remember that kind of riff I had for a song called Running Blood. I've written that song about 79, so it was part of our live set at that days. And it's not the song from Death of Glory. It was a totally different song with the same title at that days. And I remember the riff because the riff figured out, you know, what I wanted to tell with the story, you know. So I was really aggressive and really was, you know, going ahead. And so it's totally different. And sometimes, you know, I get just the plan to do a song like Last of the Mohicans, you know. I had this idea to first, when I really wanted to do the song the first time, it was when I did the Victory album. So it didn't make it on the album because it was not strong enough as a musical idea. And it came back on Shadowmaker when I did, you know, Dracula on one hand and Last of the Mohicans on another hand. And it was the same also with Resilient and Bloody Island in that song. And but for this album, well, the first time, you know, when I really figured out it was the point was right to do that, you know, because I had so much ideas for the song. I even used just a few of them for the song, but the song has written itself when I was going through the story and the flow of the story. So it's totally different. There's no recipe for me how to write a song, or is the riff the main stuff. Sometimes it's the melody the first thing I have, or the chorus is the first thing to appear. That was the case with Into the West. And so it's totally different, you know. There's not a real formula or something like that.
Now, you wrote a song on the album called Death by the Sea of the Nautilus, and did that have anything to do with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, it's something to do with that, because I was just jamming around with that special guitar sound that made that kind of noises from the submarine and the echolot and stuff like that. I was just jamming around when I, you know, finished my work. And it sounded pretty much like a submarine, you know, underwater and the machine of that. And I became the idea just to do a song about that. And, you know, I just thought about it. I didn't want to write lyrics for that song. And so Captain Nemo and the Nautilus came to my mind, and to do such a song, and it has a little bit of, you know, adventure stuff in that. And you know, I just came around with the idea in the first place. It figured out to be a song 2 minutes long or something like that, and one idea after the other came to the song, so it was getting longer and longer. And before I saw that, I had this song, the little piece of music, and I played it to some friends, the demo I had for that song. And they said it had a very, very special mood in the song. And I didn't figure that out because I was just writing the song, you know. And they said it's very adventurous and very, it has something to do with secrets, you know, you really don't know about. And, you know, it's just coming around and just going away. You don't know what it was. And so I just, you know, decided to put that song on the album and put it just right away in the middle of the CD, you know, to make sure this is a kind of an interlude or intermission or something like that. If you have a, you know, watching a movie in the cinemas in the earlier days, you know, there was this kind of intermission when the movies were very long. And so this there was a reason why I did this pretty much in the middle, you know, to some relaxing point for the listener.
One of my other favorite songs on the album was a song called Electrified. In fact, that was actually probably my favorite song on the album.
Well, you know, if I look around in the world of today, you know, there's a lot of people that are pretty much heavy into that kind of digital stuff and that new kind of media and stuff like that. You know, you can just use it, but there's a lot of people which I see how they will, you know, just deal with that. It's not the hammer you put a nail into the wall with, like I see it when I'm using a computer, but it's pretty much they're becoming a slave on that, you know, and they're really so much pretty addicted to that they could put it away, you know, even if they're driving a car, you know, they come to death because they have to have a look on that, you know, and just, you know, hitting themselves into a tree or something like that, you know. So it's pretty much heavy to see that, you know, because there's a lot of people, even kids are pretty much, you know, addicted by that, you know. So I'm always, you know, I'm using a computer in my studio for sure. It's not the way, like I said before, it's the hammer I put a nail into the wall with. But I was never into that, to see that as my master, or that I'm addicted to that, you know, and I can't live without that, you know, because I'm living for 55 years now, and so I'm living since a long time without a computer. So you know, it's just a better opportunity to work with, but a lot of people just losing their mind in that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's funny because I'm really not on my computer all that much. I mean, I have one, I do work on it, but I don't sit on a computer. You know, where some people just sit on a computer constantly and do it all the time.
Yeah, just like I said before, it's a tool, nothing else. To me, it's a tool, you know, and you've got so much great opportunities in the studio, especially in the studio with Pro Tools and all this other stuff, you know, so it's pretty much great to see. And you know, I just use this kind of advantages you have with that onto the new album, you know, because this is what repertory, this is a part of repertory, you know.
Right after the Rogues and Vogue album, you guys took a break, you took a hiatus, and then you you know, obviously you came back later on. But why did you decide that you needed a break from the band?
I was not really happy at that day with this part, you know, because when I was doing Rogues and Vogue, it was such a heavy work for me, you know, because the songwriting was such a hard process for me. I was going through it, was very painful, and it took me so long to get all these ideas together, and I was no more happy with running wild. So I really hadn't made a decision just to stop doing that, you know. And I put it down pretty much in 2006. So that was 3 years before I've done this show in Wacken Open Air, you know, to say goodbye to the fans. It was just a show I did for the fans, you know. So, but it was 3 years ago when I said, okay, I can't do it anymore. And I came back with Shadowmaker because we had the plan to do some re-recordings of the old stuff, you know, because the albums were no more available, especially the ones from Modern Music. And we came around with the idea, and they said, okay, we need some bonus tracks. I said, okay, but you know, I put down the work from Running Wild because I was not happy with that anymore. Mm-hmm. I said, just try it out. And I tried out to write one or two songs, and that became so strong in a very short period of time that I said, okay, the fun to write is back, you know, and it's great to see that. Even when I did this kind of project before that called Toxic Taste, which was pretty much just a fun project we did, and it was so much fun to write the songs, but totally different stuff at Running Wild. But that kind of fun, I really could, you know, put it over to Running Wild, and when I was writing for that album, and so I was back at that day. So it was not a plan I did. It was pretty much, it just happened, you know, it just happened that I was back, and, you know, it was so easy for me to write songs since then, you know, and it never stopped, and it, like I said before, 30 to 35 basic song ideas for repertory, mm-hmm. And so it's pretty much easy for me to write songs today, you know, and that was not the case back in the days, you know, so that's why I'm really happy with that.
Now, on the live album Ready for Boarding, you had a song called Purgatory. And that song never appeared in an album as far as a studio track. And why did you decide to never really record that track in the studio?
Actually, it was meant to be a song of Gates to Purgatory because it was always in our live program at that day. So it's a very early song. I wrote this about 1980 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we had it in the program. But when we were doing Gates to Purgatory, we decided to put another song on the album. And so we put the song off. And so we never used it. And when we did the live album, we remembered, or when we had the idea to record this tour live, the Under Jolly Roger tour, we had the idea to play the song that we have pretty much one song on the album, which not been released since that days, you know, to have a bonus track for the fans, so to speak. That was the reason why. And so after that, we said, okay, we used it on the live album, so that's why we never thought about, you know, using it on a studio CD or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes, you know, we do have metal festivals here over in the USA, and just out of curiosity, has anybody ever invited you to come play over here?
Not really yet. You know, the next year we were doing some festivals and some shows all over Europe, but ICS from the Wacken Open Air, they were work for me as an agency, so they sent it around their emails and said, okay, you can make offers to have Running Wild on a show for the next year, you know. So, and there was no American offer involved in that so far.
Now, do you ever get any fan response from over here in the USA?
Yeah, a lot, you know, especially in the early days, you know, when I did all the fan posts, you know, there was back in the days when you really was writing some letters and stuff like that. But it just came over when we had this kind of fan club in Switzerland, you know, done by Dane Kurt, and she did a great job back in the days, and, you know, then it fell off, and then we got all our, very own homepage, you know, which was done by Jens Pohl. And he did it very, very great. You know, it's his homepage, but we say it's the official one because he get every notes and every stuff, any news at the first place, you know. So that's why I'm not more really into that, you know.
You know, for a band like yourself, that you guys that have been around for as long as you have and as long as you've been doing this, Rolf, do you ever find it challenging to try to write something different than, say, what you've done in the past?
Not really, sometimes. Well, sometimes you already got the you know, the impression when you will listen to a song you just have written, it's so familiar to yourself that you really have to go through the albums. And from time to time, you find it. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Oh, I've written this 10 years before I did, you know. So it just can happen if you write, if you have written such a big amount of songs that I've done in the past. So it's possible that you just try to copy yourself, you know. But as far as I see, I could avoid to do this in the real way to put it on an album, you know. So
one of my favorite Running Wild songs of all time, and it's a song called Little Bighorn. It's off the Blazing Stone album, obviously. And, you know, what inspired you about the story of the Custer's Last Stand that really made you write that track?
When the story came about, because, you know, in Germany, when I was a kid in the late 60s and the early 70s, every Saturday night there was a Western movie on the TV, you know, so everybody was, you know, just, you know, having fun to see that. At the weekend, the whole family was sitting together and watching these movies, the John Wayne movies and stuff like that. So, there was a part of my childhood, so to speak, and I became interested into that. And when I did Blazing Stone, and we were on tour, on the Death of Glory tour, and I was, you know, riding in the Nightliner, and, you know, you have obviously pretty much nothing to do, just sitting there, you know, waiting until you arrive the next city. And I had the idea for this melody, and I had the idea for doing the song, and it sounded pretty much like a Western movie. And so the idea came about to write the song, you know. So I knew this, you know, all these Western movies from the days about that. So I really wanted to try to recreate that feeling from that, you know.
Well, Rolf, it was great to be able to talk to you. It's an honor, and obviously, for the first time in almost 17, 18 years, it was great to be able to speak to you again. So with that, you know, do you have any last words to say to the fans that will be checking out this interview on my radio show?
Well, in the first place, I'm really proud of, you know, Rapid Fire. I really hope that all the fans like the album the same way that I do, you know, because I put so much work into that, and it was pretty much successful in Germany. We hit the original charts at number 2, you know, which there was one place before Britney Spears. That's on the German charts. That was, you know, it was really because the album went, you know, really sold like hell, you know. It was really going off, you know. And so it's a big success, you know. It's pretty much one of the most successful Running Wild records of all time, you know. So since today, you know, it's just out since 1 month or something like that. So it's really great to see that. And I really hope that the fans like it the same way in America.